This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Whichever time you may be listening to us, wherever you are in the world, and if you're listening to us on the archives or a podcast, then certainly you'll be able to say it's day or night or evening or morning or afternoon. Today is the 8th of February, 2020. Very significant year, I think. A very significant time in our world history, our national history, our Adamic history, and history in general. His story is God's story. His story. So, folks, let me tell you, very interesting clips. I'm going to have some very interesting recollections of the past. Past presidential press conferences, states of the nation, states of the union, states of the economy type of addresses, since we've just passed this past week, as you know, and it was a week full of something. I don't know what, but it certainly was a week full of something. I think more nothing than something, but I'll get into that in a minute. You know, I've just finished 50 chapters of the book of Genesis once again. This is the second time now in 4 years that I've read the book of Genesis, and reading it again is amazing. It's amazing what I'm getting out of the book. Again, things that I had forgotten, things that I had not fully grasped, and that's why it's so important to go into the book of Genesis. If no other book, the book of the beginning, the book of Genesis is absolutely important in the languages that it was written, if you can. So we try to do that. We try to get the gist of it, try to learn more about who we are, who the world is, what it's all about, and why the state of the world is in a constant flurry of, I would say, babbling on. Definitely a state of confusion, a state of upheaval, a state of natural disasters and unnatural disasters worldwide, as we're finding out. We're seeing every day. So people don't know which way to turn. That is people who are caught in the middle, and that's almost everybody except maybe God's chosen, God's elect, God's children, who understand in their minds what has happened to our people, what is happening, and what will happen to our people. So in chapter 50, and I marveled at the fact that Joseph, remember his father, Jacob thought Joseph was dead because his brothers lied. They tried to kill him. They tried to kill their own brother. This is how bad our people can be when it comes right down to it. Our people are very wicked and sinful people. Make no mistake about that. But they're also repentant people. They have repented time and again, and every single time they call upon the name of God. We'll see that in Exodus. Definitely God forgave them. But they called and cried out for God to forgive them, to help them, to see them through their journey, even though they had just disobeyed him. They had effectively blasphemed him, and they asked for his mercy, and he gave it to them. So what kind of God do we worship? What kind of God is God? Well, that's the beauty of it. We see example after example after example in the book of Genesis of these children of the good figs, the children of Adam, the children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, always disobeying, fighting, envious, jealous. And this is the way our people are today. They can't wait to get into a fight. Instead of understanding who the enemy is and how they've divided us, they'd rather fight each other. And we've proved that in two worldwide wars, Christian against Christian, Israelite against Israelite, for the benefit of the evil one, the evil figs. And that is obvious now that we're at the end of this generation of the bad fig tree, planted in Jerusalem in 1948. So Joseph came back, he fell upon his father's face, and he wept upon him and kissed him, because his father's about to die, Jacob. He's old, he's going blind, he can't see, but he can feel and touch and hear the voice of them, his sons. And, you know, Joseph is about to go through this recompense with his brothers, and he did. He went through this. In the last chapter, we see the consummation of God's love in Joseph. Joseph would be the father of Ephraim and Manasseh, and, you know, the two sons, and then their children and their grandchildren, and Judah and Benjamin and Gad and Zebulun. All of these come together at the end. Joseph forgave them. He forgave them, and they wept, and he wept, and they just showed their love for each other. Now, Satan's children have love for themselves, too. Let's not make any mistake about that. They love each other just as God's children should love each other. Not because they should love what they do, but they should love their soul, their spirit, which is made in the image of God. We read in 24, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob in Egypt, now to go into the land of Canaan. You see, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones when I'm gone from henceforth. You know, his children, their seed line shall be as the stars in heaven and the sands of the sea. And today we see them all across the world having more babies, having more children. And that's what they're going to do in Egypt now when they didn't leave. They're having children and more children. And this became a concern to the Pharaoh. This became a burden to the king of Egypt, the new Pharaoh. Now, if you start reading Exodus, you'll find out what's about to happen. He is about to incur the wrath of God, the Pharaoh, because he did not bless the children of Abraham. And one thing that Jacob did, the father, the patriarch of these 12 children, is he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, both the brothers. He said, bless both the lads. And that would mean a blessing in the history to come, that is in prophecy, in coming to Europe and America and North America and you know, all of the lands where Abraham's children would go. And so I see this as, to me, so absolutely amazing that God has kept every promise he gave. And the problem is we don't keep our promises. That's one of the reasons, folks, you know, I don't want to ever make resolutions. You know, we go through this nonsense, that is, the society goes through this nonsense of New Year's resolutions, really like a paganistic, nonsensical ritual, because we can't keep our promises. We can't. Not all of them, not all of the time, and God's aware of that, obviously. And that's the reason he sent his son, you know, to die for our sins, to die for the sins of all. So you've got to, you know, appreciate that. You've got to appreciate who and what we are and how God has blessed his children, even though none of us deserves his blessing. None of us deserves life. He knows that. We're not worthy of it in and of ourselves, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The gift of God is eternal life. Jesus was the only Lamb of God, a Lamb of God made perfect, for the sacrifice for sins. And I think that's so important to understand that. If you believe it, you accept it, and you accept his forgiveness for sins, then you're in. And repentance is a daily occurrence, an hourly occurrence for some, a minute-to-minute thing, you know? And so when we look at the stupid world around us, this insane country we have today, this insane state that I live in, this insane region of New England, I look and see men, proud, men who are boastful, whether their name is Pompeo, or whether it's Wallenstein, or whether it's a Rockefeller, or whether it's Pence, or whether it's Trump, or whether it's Adelson, or whether it's any of these people. You know, I look at them as proud men who are going to bring peace to the world, peace. And they never define peace. They never define prosperity. What is peace and prosperity? Tell me. True peace. It all depends on your definition. It's like white nationalist. What is a white nationalist? It's a meaningless term. Racism has now become a meaningless term. Supremacy. Anti-Semitism doesn't mean anything anymore. It has a pejorative meaning. Yes, it has an inference meaning. Connotative, but not denotative. Because they bastardized it. They misused it. And now media have corrupted the terms so much that everybody is agreeing to something they don't agree on. If you know what I'm saying. Oh, he's one. Oh, they're one. Oh, she's one. Or it's one, you know? So let's, you know, put all of this nonsense aside. And what I'm doing now is I'm not focusing on nonsense like the so-called impeachment that wasn't, the so-called exoneration that really isn't, the so-called business of the State of the Union address, which I'll be honest with you, I started to listen to it on the radio when I was resting in bed, and within 20 minutes, I just fell asleep. I have to be perfectly honest. I could not stay awake, and I wasn't even that tired. But listening to Trump at first, quite droopy and quite humble-sounding, from what I hear later, he began to pick up the ante and pick up the tone. Now, he didn't write that speech. He never does. I don't think he's ever written a speech in his life, except maybe you're fired, something like that. But, the point is you got guys like Steve Miller, Italian, of course, and Mr. Porter, who wrote essentially the speech that he gave. So I get bits and pieces of it, and I know what he was going to say before he said it. And we're going to hear a president, a former United States president, who was going to be impeached and resigned from office. I wonder who that could be. Give his State of the State address, his State of the Union address, in 1974. I want you to listen very carefully to this, because if you listen very carefully, you'll hear the same words that Mr. Trump is using today, essentially, more or less, with a few twists and turns here and there. You'll hear what Richard Milhouse Nixon was boasting as to his accomplishments since 1969. You'll hear peace, and you'll hear prosperity. You'll hear the economy. You'll hear about deficits. You'll hear about taxation. You'll hear about stimulus. You'll hear about all these wonderful things. And it's the same minutia today. Almost the same phraseology, almost the same exact situation, except now we've hit bottom, rock bottom, as far as the spent nickel is concerned. The nickel is gone. The dime is gone. The quarter is gone. Everything is gone. We're down to our last penny of debt. So the train is about to run off the tracks. We're about to go over the slippery slope in an avalanche of destruction. Worldwide, not just America, because we are a global economy since the 1980s, aren't we? It is a world economic structure that we see now. Listen, when we play this segment of Richard Nixon's State of the Union Address in 1974, before that fateful year for Nixon, listen to how he boasts about peace. And what does he define peace as? Opening the door to communist China. Something unheard of if George McGovern were to win the White House. Impossible. George McGovern was a communist. I heard one man say that in 1972 when I was a young American for freedom type. And I heard one man say to George McGovern, you probably saw it on national TV, I think you're a communist, McGovern. And McGovern shot back on the campaign trail and says, I think you're an idiot. I'll never forget that. And you know, the funny thing is, what did we get when Richard Nixon became president? Communism. Peace in Vietnam. Peace of the communist hammer and sickle. Peace worldwide. Strength, military strength. Our military has never been stronger under Melvin Leard, Secretary of Defense, and others in the War Department that didn't exist. Now Defense Department. Defensive rear action, defensive action against the communism that the United States was instrumental in creating in the First and Second World Wars. My friend, there's nothing new under the sun. Read Ecclesiastes. This all happened before, and it's happening again. So if you listen to Mr. Trump and you heard any of what he said about the economy, about deficits, about the stock market, and he's responsible for the boom in the stock market, and you, the American public, can contribute mightily, then you'll get the drift. It shows that the same hand, the invisible hand of the shadow regime, controlled America throughout the 20th century. Cain and Esau controlling Jacob Israel, ruling over her, and destroying what was left of her allegiance to God as a nation. So right now, I'm going to ask 10. We tend to begin this segment of President Richard Milhouse Nixon, who was giving his State of the Union address in 1974. Let's begin right here.
We meet here tonight at a time of great challenge and great opportunities for America. We meet at a time when we face great problems at home and abroad that will test the strength of our fiber as a nation. But we also meet at a time when that fiber has been tested and it has proved strong. America is a great and good land. And we are a great and good land because we are a strong, free, creative people. And because America is the single greatest force for peace anywhere in the world. Today, as always in our history, we can base our confidence in what the American people will achieve in the future on the record of what the American people have achieved in the past. Tonight, for the first time in 12 years, a president of the United States can report to the Congress on the state of a union at peace with every nation of the world. Because of this, in the 22,000-word message on the State of the Union that I have just handed to the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate, I have been able to deal primarily with the problems of peace, with what we can do here at home in America for the American people, rather than with the problems of war. The measures I have outlined in this message set an agenda for truly significant progress for this nation and the world in 1974. Before we chart where we are going, let us see how far we have come. It was 5 years ago on the steps of this Capitol that I took the oath of office as your president. In those 5 years, because of the initiatives undertaken by this administration, the world has changed. America has changed. As a result of those changes, America is safer today, more prosperous today, with greater opportunity for more of its people than ever before in our history.
Take a break from Tricky Dick. We will come right back after these announcements. Please support Republic Broadcasting.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful.
Is that Bush or is that Nixon? Okay, let's go back. Yes. Do we hear the rest of it, Ken? Okay, that's enough. Our enemies. Okay. All right, folks, we're going to get back to Richard Nixon now. If you remember, I am not a crook, Richard Nixon once said, or maybe he said it more than one time. But would you buy a used car from this man? Tricky Dick, Richard Nixon, the man that Gary Allen wrote about in his book, Nixon's Palace Guard, the conservatives get the rhetoric and the left gets the action. Let's go back to President Richard Nixon, 1974's State of the Union Address.
5 years ago, America was at war in Southeast Asia. We were locked in confrontation with the Soviet Union. We were in hostile isolation from a quarter of the world's people who lived in mainland China. 5 years ago, our cities were burning and besieged. 5 years ago, our college campuses were a battleground. 5 years ago, crime was increasing at a rate that struck fear across the nation. 5 years ago, the spiraling rise in drug addiction was threatening human and social tragedy of massive proportion, and there was no program to deal with it. 5 years ago, as young Americans had done for a generation before that, America's youth still live under the shadow of the military draft. 5 years ago, there was no national program to preserve our environment. Day by day, our air was getting dirtier, our water was getting more foul. And 5 years ago, American agriculture was practically a depressed industry, with 100,000 farm families abandoning the farm every year. As we look at America today, we find ourselves challenged by new problems. But we also find a record of progress to confound the professional criers of doom and prophets of despair. We met the challenges we faced 5 years ago, and we will be equally confident of meeting those that we face today. Let us see for a moment how we have met them. After more than 10 years of military involvement, all of our troops have returned from Southeast Asia, and they have returned with honor. And we can be proud of the fact that our courageous prisoners of war, for whom a dinner was held in Washington tonight, that they came home with their heads high, on their feet and not on their knees. In our relations with the Soviet Union, we have turned away from a policy of confrontation to one of negotiation. For the first time since World War II, the world's two strongest powers are working together toward peace in the world. With the People's Republic of China, after a generation of hostile isolation, we have begun a period of peaceful exchange and expanding trade. Peace has returned to our cities, to our campuses. The 17-year rise in crime has been stopped. We can confidently say today that we are finally beginning to win the war against crime. Right here in this nation's capital, which a few years ago was threatening to become the crime capital of the world, the rate in crime has been cut in half. A massive campaign against drug abuse has been organized. And the rate of new heroin addiction, the most vicious threat of all, is decreasing rather than increasing. For the first time in a generation, no young Americans are being drafted into the armed services of the United States. And for the first time ever, we have organized a massive national effort to protect the environment. Our air is getting cleaner, our water is getting purer, and our agriculture, which was depressed, is prospering. Farm income is up 70%. Farm production is setting all-time records. And the billions of dollars the taxpayers were paying in subsidies has been cut to nearly zero. Overall, Americans are living more abundantly than ever before today. More than 2.5 million new jobs were created in the past year alone. That is the biggest percentage increase in nearly 20 years. People are earning more. What they earn buys more than ever before in history. In the past 5 years, the average American's real spendable income, that is what you really can buy with your income, even after allowing for taxes and inflation, has increased by 16%. Despite this record of achievement, as we turn to the year ahead, we hear once again the familiar voice of the perennial prophets of gloom, telling us now that because of the need to fight inflation, because of the energy shortage, America may be headed for a recession. Well, let me speak to that issue head on.
All right, we're going to hear the president speak to that issue. Listen up. Atum, listen to the president. We will come back in just about 3 minutes, folks. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Right, if you want to know the truth, I don't much care for the time I was born into. It seems people aren't dying fast enough these days. They call upon science to invent new, more efficient weapons to depopulate the earth.
We're back, Radio Avenger here on... back to Tricky Dick, and let's hear the wonderful accomplishments that his administration was making. All right. Okay. Hang on, folks. We've paused Mr. Used Car Salesman himself, but he's coming right back to the microphone. Richard Nixon's boastful accomplishments for the economy, world peace, and security. Thank you. All right. Okay, well, all right, we'll just play something. Join us somewhere. I want to hear what he has to say.
Looking at the year 1974, which lies before us, there are 10 key areas in which landmark accomplishments are possible this year in America. If we make these our national agenda, This is what we will achieve in 1974.
Okay.
We will break the back of the energy crisis. We will lay the foundation for our future capacity to meet America's energy needs from America's own resources. And we will take another giant stride toward lasting peace in the world, not only by continuing our policy of negotiation rather than confrontation where the great powers are concerned, but also by helping toward the achievement of a just and lasting settlement in the Middle East. We will check the rise in prices without administering the harsh medicine of recession, and we will move the economy into a steady period of growth at a sustainable level. We will establish a new system that makes high-quality health care available to every American in a dignified manner and at a price he can afford. We will make our states and localities more responsive to the needs of their own citizens. We will make a crucial breakthrough toward better transportation in our towns and in our cities across America. We will reform our system of federal aid to education to provide it when it is needed, where it is needed, so that it will do the most for those who need it the most. We will make an historic beginning on the task of defining and protecting the right of personal privacy for every American. And we will start on a new road toward reform of a welfare system that bleeds the taxpayer, corrodes the community, and demeans those it is intended to assist. And together with the other nations of the world, we will establish the economic framework within which Americans will share more fully in an expanding worldwide trade and prosperity in the years ahead, with more open access to both markets and supplies.
I think we've got enough. Thank you, Ken. All right, folks. We had a little bit of trouble there, but you heard, in essence, a summary of what Richard Nixon presented in 1974. Now, of course, we know what preceded it. If you remember, some of you old-timers will recall that we had just had the Arab oil embargo in 1973 following the war. Which, of course, Israel started again another so-called preemptive war, the Yom Kippur War, I believe. And what we had in America was long lines. We had rationing. We had odd even. I remember because I was a part of it. I was there. And I was with the John Birch Society, and we were handing out leaflets telling people there is no energy crisis before Lindsay Williams started making the circuit. We were telling them this was a fraud. We had energy, we had resources, we had wells that could not be exploited here in America. Nixon touched on it, but in reality, he didn't give you the cause. He didn't tell you what was going on. He didn't tell you. He wouldn't dare talk about the fact that it was our own policies under Henry Kissinger, who became Secretary of State following William Rogers' departure from the 1969-70 era, who was the architect of treason, who dumped the dollar, who closed the gold window so that the dollar was worth less and we were paying more for energy. It wasn't the shortage that caused the price of energy to skyrocket, and that, in turn, caused inflation. It was the other way around. So here we had a president, Tricky Dick, who was an honest used car salesman, who was lying to the American public then, but we didn't have the internet then. We had books and publications. We had internet, pre-internet alternative media, and we didn't have much of it. We had a very limited budget. So people who were watching TV, watching Walter Cronkite, watching Roger Mudd, watching Eric the Red Severide, and watching all of these others lied to them, didn't know a thing. All they knew was Looney Tune time. And that's exactly what we have, is Looney Tunes. So Richard Nixon, in that speech, made the same essential boast that we're getting now today, that we're bringing the world together, we're negotiating instead of waging war, we're finding avenues of peace, with our enemies. And this is exactly what they're saying to us now, with one exception. The wars are not over yet. We have a new enemy. We have Iran. And Iran is the enemy that Nazi Germany was, supposedly, in the 1930s and in 1941. And we need to conquer. We need to make sure they cannot achieve something which they have not sought, and that is to have a nuclear bomb, to have nuclear capability. Because it is against Islamic law, and they have never sought to do that. But we've been lied to from the administrations of Baby Bush onward. And Mr. Trump has adhered to that lie because he has to. He toes the line. He toes the line and reads the speeches that are written for him by the Millers and the Porters and the Rosensteins, okay? It's that simple. You can hear it. You can see it. But essentially, peace with China. For the first time, we've opened negotiations with communist China. Not free China, but communist enslaved China. Over a billion souls enslaved. Now we have direct access instead of isolation, Mr. Nixon said. See, that's isolation from the Chinese people. I thought it was isolation to recognize the government which enslaved them. That would be the epitome of isolation, of ignoring the plight of the people, wouldn't it? Recognizing the government does not improve the plight of the slaves. It only enhances it. Now, we're going to go to the next clip. And this is another president who, I believe, followed Richard Nixon after he was forced out of office, forced to resign. And his name was, let's see, Jerry Bilderberger Ford. And he's going to make a new proposal because inflation, as they call it, was growing. Prices were rising. The recession that Nixon said he was fighting, indeed, was big time. I was there. I lived through it. And the employment factor was reflected in that recession. So now we have a new program. It's called WIN. Whip. Inflation now. Let's go to that clip, if we can now, of Gerald Ford making
history. Today, through our economic difficulties, do not approach the emergency of 1933. The message from the American people is exactly the same. I trust that you are getting the very same message that I am receiving. Our constituents want leadership. Our constituents want action. All of us have heard much talk on this very floor about Congress recovering its rightful share of national leadership. I now intend to offer you that chance. The 73rd Congress... The 73rd Congress responded to FDR's appeal in 5 days. I'm deeply grateful for the cooperation of the 93rd Congress and the conference on inflation, which ended 10 days ago. Mr. Speaker, many, but not all, of your recommendations on behalf of your party's caucus are reflected in some of my proposals here today. The distinguished majority leader of the Senate offered a 9-point program. I seriously studied all of them and adopted some of his suggestions. I might add, I have also listened very hard to many of our former colleagues in both bodies and of both the majority and the minority, and have been both persuaded and dissuaded. But in the end, I had to make the decision. I had to decide, as each of you do, when the roll call is called. I will not take your time today with the discussion of the origins of inflation and its bad effect on the United States. But I do know where we want to be in 1976, on the 200th birthday of a United States of America that has not lost its way, nor its will, nor its sense of national purpose. During the meetings on inflation, I listened carefully to many valuable suggestions. Since the summit, I have evaluated literally hundreds of ideas, day and night. My conclusions are very simply stated. There is only one point on which all advisors have agreed. We must whip inflation right now. None of the remedies proposed, great or small, compulsory or voluntary, stands a chance unless they are combined in a considered package, in a concerted effort, in a grand design. I have reviewed the past and the present efforts of our federal government to help the economy. They are simply not good enough, nor sufficiently broad. Nor do they pack the punch that will turn America's economy on. A stable American economy cannot be sustained if the world's economy is in chaos. International cooperation is absolutely essential and vital.
Oh, yes, yes.
But while we seek agreements with other nations, let us put our own economic house in order. Today, I have identified 10 areas for our joint action, the executive and the legislative branches of our government.
That's enough. Now, that's Gerry Ford. He was called the rocket scientist of the White House, right? He sounds as boring as a shell of peanuts that's just been eaten. I mean, you know, he was not a great speaker. He was not a great thinker. They used to say, can he chew gum and walk at the same time? But he served the purpose and filling up of the White House until we had Jimmy Carter come along. Now, you see the continuum here, folks. You know, because this is an educated audience. Most people in radio talk land, unfortunately, don't go back in history. They don't see the continuum. The same hand of the synagogue of Satan over banking, over control of the economy, over the politics, over the economics of this nation and much of the world is the same hand that rules today. There is no white knight in shining armor in Trump, in Pence, or in anybody else. My friends, scripture is either true or it is false. I say it's true. Let every other man and woman be a liar. Now, we are not a free nation. But Mr. Trump's speech, obviously, written by the, as I said, the Millers and the Porters and so forth, obviously drew applause. Incredible standing ovations. Why? Because America wants to feel good. Because America wanted to feel good in 1972 and 4 and in 76 to come. They have an American president, Gerry Ford, a Republican, supposedly. He's applauding the efforts of Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the Depression. Here we are, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, Republican versus Democrat. Oh, you know what that means, A versus A and Z versus Z. It's all one big, massive hoax. Roosevelt did not get America out of the Depression. He expanded it, he metastasized it, and then he exploited it for his political and his bosses, political and economic gain. Americans were robbed of their real money in 1934, the Democratic Congress with the White House. They passed the Gold Reserve Act and told Americans, turn it all in or face a penalty of jail and fines. And they did, largely. They turned it in, and that will solve the Depression. Well, it certainly created more insolvency. At the same time, they allowed the foreign governments to purchase gold from America. We were being destroyed in 1934 and onward. Gerry Ford acknowledged that as a plus, not as a minus. Another minion, another puppet. And who are the real criminals? Those who were rolling us down that road to destruction. They're still doing it now, folks. I'm not trying to be a naysayer. I'm only telling you what you should already know. Is the same captains of the Titanic are ruling this Titanic today. And they're taking us into one massive what could we say, Rosenberg or Iceberg? Get the message? You sure do. So this is why I'm playing all of this today. Then we have a clip, if we had time, but we could do that in the future. Jimmy Carter, who on the campaign trail said, if you see a Cyrus Vance as Secretary of State and as a Zbigniew Brzezinski as my national security advisor, you'll know I failed the American people. He appointed those two. And then, as the administration rolled on, he later said that Zbigniew Brzezinski was a great national security advisor. Why, he was the best that he had ever known. Of course, he praised his bosses once again. Folks, it's one big lap of a roller coaster ride. Get ready for the dissension. We'll come right back. Rick Adams on Sense.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Can man control his Can man control his destiny? Can he change the shape of things to come?
Thank you. Thank you, Ken. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. While I'm on the subject, folks, of real issues versus Tinseltown versus fakery, I have to say that somebody has finally, in the Daily Mail, finally raised the question that I have been raising. Is Jeffrey Epstein alive, or is he, quote, dead by his own hand or by someone else's? Well, you know, the conventional thinking is that, well, he would never fake his own death and be in Israel or assuming a new identity. He couldn't do that, because if he did, we know what would happen, don't we? There'd be so many people on his back to kill him because of what he knows, and he knows, and he knows so much, so they all wanted him dead. That's the conventional thinking. Well, in reality, you're not dealing with the tribal nature of this beast, the Mossad, the togetherness, the kinsmanship of those that represent that evil fig tree and that generation. They're not working against each other. They're largely, almost unanimously, but not entirely, working in lockstep. And so he would be protectable. He would, in my opinion, be the perfect guy to be able to get away with the perfect crime thus far and help distract Americans from what they should be thinking about him, the mafia, the Cosa Nostra, and instead thinking about rhetoric that comes from the White House, thinking about silly speeches, thinking about press conferences, thinking about the National Prayer Day, thinking about all kinds of foolish things like, do you like Mr. Trump swearing or do you not like Mr. Trump swearing? Is it good or is it bad? These are the real issues that are being diverted from, they're being distracted from, and unfortunately, it is working. I know why, biblically, and I understand the get-go. I know where it's all leading. You do, too. That's not the point. The point is that the question still remains. How is it that millions of dollars that were sent from the estate of a disgraced billionaire pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein, wound up coming into his bank that he owned and then being taken out? How is it possible there are economic deposits and then withdrawals? Monetary withdrawals that are still reportedly going on right now as we speak. It's raised some questions, but you know what? So far, we haven't heard much, except maybe a judge who's overseeing the court case involving the remaining assets of his accounts. How come? We need to find out, don't we? Is it he or someone else, a proxy? Who is it that is withdrawing the funds from those accounts? Interesting, isn't it? You can read all about it in the Daily Mail, the UK, as reported, and other media who are trying to get in a little dosage of truth. Meanwhile, we're concerned about the guy down the street that's smoking marijuana. He's selling a few joints to raise a few bucks. Put him in jail. Do away with it. You know, heroin traffic. All of this stuff is an issue, but it is paling in comparison to the real hardcore criminals. And that's why Americans are considered in the world of the, you know, the Israelite people are considered to be stupid. You know, Khrushchev used to say of Americans, you can spit in their face and they will call it dew from heaven. He used to say it. I didn't say it. I'm just quoting him. So that's one example of how the criminal mafia continues to be able to perpetrate such distractions, such major crimes. Isn't it sweet? It sure is. Such a deal. All right. Hour number two coming up. Art will return in a little while. Meanwhile, we'll do some phone calling in between. You stay tuned. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
Oh, the splash of sunshine.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.